name is Russell Jackman, and I am talking today about Microsoft Office 365 and the Law Office, and how law offices are using Microsoft Office 365 to make things better and more effective in their practice. First, I'd like to introduce myself. I was with the Law Practice Management and Technology Section with the State Bar of California from 1994 to 1999, and I was vice chair of the committee. I have been providing legal technology support as a business since the year 2000. I've been an MCLE lecturer from 1994 to present, and I've also been a professor of computer applications to paralegals at Cal State Hayward from 2002 to 2005. I'm also a owner of the Linked Local Marin networking group, which is Marin County's largest online networking resource. And I've been involved in the area of legal technology really since the beginning of 1999, when Y2K was a big thing and people were panicking about that. I think we've all moved very, very much on since then, but you know, a lot of those early concerns helped solidify what I was trying to do for law offices and make people understand how important their relationship with technology is and the reliability of technology. And as I've moved forward, I've seen a lot of law offices when I was first starting were using typewriters for everything, and computers were really, you know, just being used as a sometimes document storage thing, but not everything was originated by the computer. And now we're in a stage where nothing is done on a typewriter and everything is done on the computer. And so the ability to have that sort of relationship with your technology, where you're using your technology every day and it mandates and dictates how effective you are, not only within your own organization, but with your relationship with your clients is dictated so much by how well you use your technology. So, you know, a lot of people were back then when they were using word processors, they were using WordPerfect, and they were using, WordStar when I was first starting out, and that was really a long time ago. And now Microsoft Word has really become the standard for everyone to use in their office. But what has really also moved forward is the idea of using Microsoft Office as a suite, as a collection of programs put together, as opposed to just using Word by itself and then using other programs to augment that. When you look at Microsoft Office as a suite of programs collected together, you can see how a number of the things that they are coordinated to do as a suite is something that will provide law offices with greater functionality, much like Office provides for all businesses, of working together, working collaboratively, working more effectively with both within your organization and with clients, being able to share documents, being able to edit documents together, and all featuring what really is now a clouded system for being able to share that information and to being able to access the information and being able to retrieve that information, especially in a situation where you need backing up or you have some kind of data loss or something along those lines. Now, also to mention that a lot of what I do is working with solo firms and solo attorneys and small firms. I don't do a lot of enterprise-wide consulting for large law offices, usually because they have their own IT department that's already in place that handles a lot of this stuff. But what I'm talking about today has implications for both small firms, solo firms, and for larger firms. But just keep in mind that a lot of the perspective that I'm giving right now is for how smaller firms and solos would be using Office 365 and their applications for it. Not that you can't use these same sort of things for larger firms, but that's generally my perspective. And a lot of that is because technology has allowed smaller firms and law offices to be able to compete with larger law firms. It used to matter so much that you had a big staff that you could throw at the problem when there was a situation that would arise that, you know, when law offices would encounter a bigger case, they would hire more paralegals, they would hire more secretaries, and they would throw people at the problem is sort of the term that I use. But nowadays, it doesn't make sense to throw a bunch of people at an existing problem. It makes more sense to use the technology that's available to you more effectively. When you do that, you're able to cut costs, cut hours, cut the time that is spent on doing the drudge work of case management, and instead use the power of these different features of the different programs to be able to manage what other businesses are doing. Law offices often just worked as a law office, and that was a special way of running business because most businesses don't have the structure of paralegals and secretaries in them. But as we've seen time move forwards, law offices have had to make that adjustment and operate much more like a business in the way that other businesses do. And the way other businesses manage things is by utilizing their technology effectively. And so that is something that a lot of law offices are sort of still getting into the swing of and are getting better at, but still haven't perfected. And as we move into the later 2020s, into the second half of the decade, where this is being recorded in 2023 right now. But as we move into the forwards, it's going to be more imperative for law offices to understand that dynamic and moving towards the technology of the 2020s and not just be stuck in the older mentality of, say, the 80s or God forbid, you know, maybe even the 90s there for some law offices. It's important for them to embrace what's going on so they remain competitive. And so first thing I'd like to talk about is what the difference is between Office 365 versus the standalone version, okay? Office 365 really looks at being an online application. It looks, even though it can be run and is often run on people's local computers, and there's an advantage to using it locally, because I do think that the local versions of Word and Outlook and Excel and PowerPoint offer more features and a little bit more control of the data than you do when it's online. The fact that you can work with it online directly from the server can work to your advantage, especially for attorneys that are traveling or don't have a computer available to them. You know, their desktop is not available to them. They can work on tablets and even cell phones and practically have all the same features that they would have if they were at their desk. They're not chained to their desk. In the past, it was a problem for a lot of attorneys because all their data and all their means of manipulating their documents would be at the office, and they would have to come to the office, get on their computer at the office, load up their local files of their word processing documents, their spreadsheets, and then maybe save it to a disk, save it to a CD, save it to a thumb drive, or, you know, maybe email it to themselves. And then go home, work on that version, email it back to themselves, put it back on the disk, bring it back to the office, update the office, and then, of course, update any clients or any co-counsel that was working with them on it. And it was getting to the point, and I certainly worked with a lot of law offices that had many different versions of documents, and they didn't really know what the master document really was, what the most current document was. And it was getting very confusing to them, and sometimes they would either miss out on the latest updates that a different person worked on, or co-counsel worked on, or outside counsel worked on, and they would be repeating things or missing out on those edits and those changes. And so that's one of the things that Microsoft Office 365 has tried very hard to work with, and to be able to provide that sort of online collaboration. Now, if you have the standalone version of Microsoft Office, you have to choose between the different types of Office, which is that there's a home and student version that just has Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, or there's the home and business version, which has Outlook included. And sometimes attorneys will purchase, unfortunately, the home and student version and wonder where Outlook is, if they are, in fact, using Outlook, or they want to use Outlook and its functionality. And that will be missing if they buy just the home and student version. Now, the home and business version, while it has Outlook, is still just considered a standalone application. And so being able to network it and being able to use it with multiple users is a greater challenge. Also, when you buy the standalone version, it's not automatically updated to the newest version when Microsoft makes significant changes. Whereas Office 365, as long as you keep paying for a subscription, will be updated to the latest version of Office. So you don't have to have the challenge of being able to constantly update it. And so within a number of different law offices, they are finding that there's a value to having Office 365 set on a number of machines, because they don't the maintenance of having to stay on top of which one is the latest version and having all the same features across everyone's desktop is easier with Office 365. It's the idea of software as a service, which is sometimes known as SaaS, software as a service, is more complete with the Office 365 application than the standalone ones. Now on the one hand, when you buy the standalone, you pay for it one time, and so it's cheaper over time, because you've purchased, say, you know, the Microsoft Office suite for, say, the home and business for around $200-$300, somewhere around that price. And then if you use it for a number of years, then and not make any changes to it, then it winds up being cheaper than buying it for $99 a year. But the $99 a year allows you to have that application automatically updated whenever Microsoft makes a change, and you are also using the power of the internet, and you get the ability to also use OneDrive for mass storage, not just their small 20 gig limit that they give for free when you sign up originally with Microsoft. And I would also caution users in using just the free version of OneDrive to handle client materials, because that, if you look at the user agreement, the end user agreement for OneDrive, for the free version, Microsoft disclaims quite a bit of their responsibility for it. When you have a contractual agreement with them where you're paying money for the OneDrive service, you get a more reliable and greater guarantee that OneDrive will be up and managed by the Microsoft Office system. So I think that when you are using client data and saving client data, you're better off with the contractual guarantees and the fiduciary duty that you get from signing up for a paid version of OneDrive versus using the free version. So Office 365 features have the online versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. You also get OneDrive, which is built into every Windows system, and that's a very powerful thing. Even though there are competitors such as Dropbox and Box and other file sharing systems, Google Drive and so forth, OneDrive being built into the Office system and into Windows makes it easier and more convenient. You can find the OneDrive icon right there on the left side of any Windows system from 10 on out, and 11 too is built to work with OneDrive. So it's convenient that way, and you don't really need to add different software or install anything different. You just need to activate it, and it's ready to go, and files will be sent directly to OneDrive when you save them to your computer, if you configure it in such a way. And that has been good, because I'm not a big fan of the localized server. And I think a lot of law firms realize the kind of out-of-date concept of the in-office file server, especially when we hit the pandemic in 2020. Cloud-featured systems really took off when a lot of attorneys had to no longer go to the office, couldn't check into the office. They were not even allowed to. They were locked down and not able to get into the office. And the office-based file servers were overwhelmed and became very slow and hard to access because they weren't meant to be accessed by more than one or two attorneys at a time online, and maybe the office itself didn't have a great internet connection. A lot of people have said that they had better internet connections at home than they had at the office. And in that case, but I've also seen situations too, even before 2020, for instance, I'm here in Northern California, we had the Napa fires a few years ago. And there were offices that were just completely shut down because of the fires. And some of them were damaged or destroyed during the fires. And because they had all their files located at an in-office server, they were out of luck and out of business for weeks, maybe months, because all their key data was on a file server that was at the office. And same with their backup, it was all at the office. It wasn't online, it was not clouded. And so they had no other way but to physically go to their office. And when their office was red tagged because of the fires, because the building structure was damaged and they couldn't go back in and work on it, they were in very serious trouble. So the cloud has become a lot more popular and a lot more standard for law offices to work with, as well as a lot of other businesses, because of that flexibility and being able to get yourself out of the physical location of where your data is and more just being able to get on the internet to be able to access it. Other Office 365 features include SharePoint, Microsoft Office Teams, Publisher, which is a printing program to be able to print specialized things like flyers and certificates and banners and posters and greeting cards and so forth. And then the database building program known as Access. Let's talk a little bit about OneDrive. It's a simplified version of SharePoint. As I'd said, it's built into Windows 10, and you'll see under the lower right-hand side or under apps, there's a little picture of a cloud, okay? And it automatically does a file synchronization when you put those files in your local computer on OneDrive. It will also, and on a periodic basis, depending on what settings you put, you can get it to sync just about every minute with the server. And it doesn't go and erase all your files and then re-upload them all. What it does is it checks every minute to see what has been altered. First, it takes a few hours to upload everything to the OneDrive server. But after that, it just checks on a periodic basis to see what files have been altered, what files have been uploaded, and then goes and checks to see those changes, and then just uploads those changes or synchronizes the changes between the various files that have been altered. And that way you can see almost basically on a live basis what has been changed on a file, as opposed to, as I was saying before, the old way, which is people would have those files on their own local systems, then upload it when they were done. And so simultaneous work that was done on the same file wouldn't be seen by people until they downloaded that actual file, which has been uploaded. So it really wasn't simultaneous. And again, that created great challenges between multiple versions, people not knowing which version would be actually the for sure real version or most updated version, and that created a lot of confusion. But it's also nice to be able to have the copies being located on the local computer itself, so that you're using the power of the machine that you're working on to actually edit those documents. And if there is a brief interruption of the online connection, you won't just be disconnected and lose your work. You'll have it locally, and as soon as your computer is back online, it'll resync it again. So people who are commuting, for instance, and go into areas where there are poor signals, or they get disconnected, or they just are in an office that has unreliable internet sometimes, or any sort of reason that you would get disconnected, by being able to sign back in to the internet wherever you are, the synchronization will continue and be able to update your files. You can work offline, sync, and have local power and online cloud power, which is really, I think, a value for the more mobile attorney and one that does not want to be chained to the desk of their office. There is strong security and assurance of service with Microsoft. That's one thing that is very important to know, as we all have been associated with Microsoft in one way or another, even Apple users, and to some extent. Microsoft has been there since the 70s, and they're not really going anywhere. It's harder sometimes to trust an online service or a company that has not been around as long as Microsoft when you're talking all your firm's data, all your firm's information. If you have it trusted with Microsoft, the odds are that Microsoft will be there over time. Can't always guarantee that with other services. And the other thing that is nice is with the power of Microsoft, the mass storage is very inexpensive.
Esquire CLE's first verification code is BIT. B-I-T, all lowercase, BIT. Please take a moment and write this down. Esquire CLE's first verification code is BIT. B-I-T, all lowercase, BIT. Please take a moment and write this down.
Apple is a little bit more costly with their cloud services. Google Drive isn't that expensive, but Microsoft is also very competitive for their mass storage. I've seen plans that include a terabyte for the base use of Microsoft 365, Office 365, and I think it's maybe $59 a month. Don't quote me on that because deals are always coming up and prices are always changing. But at least right now, I've seen deals where it's only $59 a month and they'll give you 1 terabyte of mass storage that's available, which for a lot of law offices, especially solos and small firms, is plenty for their client files. A terabyte is becoming less and less spacious as time moves by, which is kind of amazing to me because I remember when everything was being stored in K and megs, as opposed, you know, thousands or millions, as opposed to trillions. But for a lot of law offices, 1 terabyte is plenty to fit all their client files. I usually find that a typical solo small firm has something in the 20 to 100 gig range of client files. And certainly what can be done is you can take older client files, put them on an SSD, solid state drive, and archive them and have your active files still wind up being under a terabyte in size. You can just take the ones that are, say, older than 5 years, older than 7 years, depending on what sort of system that you're using or what kind of law you're working with. But usually 7 years is considered a decent enough backup of most of your systems. You just check your local law requirements as far as document storage goes. But if you keep backups up to 7 years, as I said, you can take things that are older than 7 years, put them on a solid state hard drive, and then put that in cold storage, maybe in a safe deposit box or something, and then you're pretty much covered as far as your legal liabilities go, should you ever lose that data. So how OneDrive works is that you sign into the Windows account from the start, and then you sign into a shared Office account once Windows starts. So the cloud on the lower right-hand side says sign into account. You can add multiple accounts, and once you're signed in, OneDrive shows on the left side a file explorer. So it's easy to save, it's easy to find documents, and to search locally or to search online can be done just by clicking into the Windows logo and start typing what you're looking for. And the search capacity is not only much faster nowadays with computers' internal power, but also is pretty smart and is able to look within documents to find the word or phrase that you're trying to locate and be able to pull that up. It doesn't work with all the time with PDFs, especially PDFs that are PDFs are the portable document format that is part of Adobe. And if the items are just scanned as images and not OCR, optical character recognized, that you can't just edit the text that's in them, OneDrive will not find what's inside of that. But it will find the phrases and the keywords that you put in a Word document, in an Excel spreadsheet, or that is in an email that's in Outlook. So that's an advantage too with using the Microsoft Office suite as opposed to, say, Google Drive or Box or Dropbox or whatever. If you use it and download it all into OneDrive locally, you then have that ability to do the searching using your own computer's power to find exactly the document that you're looking at. And then syncing obviously means that all the documents on OneDrive on the computer are also on the cloud. That takes care of the headache and worry about backing up all the time. By having those files on the cloud and locally, it's a value. And the reason why people say, well, if I have it on the cloud, why do I need a local version? And that is, the simple answer to that is, the time that it takes to upload is the time that it takes to download. And so let's say you had a terabyte full of information online, and you upload it online. Well, depending on your connection, uploading a terabyte could take several hours, could take several days to do. So I've always recommended to my clients that you have both copies, a local and a virtual version. Because, like, for instance, I have clients who don't use OneDrive, but they use Carbonite, and they had a system crash, and they had to restore all their documents from Carbonite. And you can obviously download the most important documents right away, but it still took them several days to download all their documents from their Carbonite account into their computers, because their connection was very slow. Some of them were using cell phones actually as hotspots to connect to it, and that wound up being kind of costly as far as their data plans were concerned. So you have to take all that into account. If you have local versions of those copies, especially if it's backed up, say, on a local hard drive, you can restore those within minutes. And so then you're back up and working, as opposed to having to wait to download it for X amount of time and paying for the data rates if you're using a cell phone to access those documents. So one big advantage for OneDrive for business is that it has high-level encryption. I do get a lot of questions from people who are saying, well, I'm worried about what my bar association would say about being securing and safeguarding client data, and they don't really understand, like, the terms and how the data is being protected, and they're worried about not meeting the standard that's required by their state bar that they have safeguarded their data. But Microsoft does take their encryption very seriously. And so this is a quote from Microsoft itself. It says, when your data is in transit, it's encrypted as data moves between you and the data center and between the server and the data center, which uses 2048 bit keys. However, the encryption technology applies not only when the data is moving between the servers or data centers, but also when the data is at rest. When the data is at rest, there are two types of encryption that are used: disk encryption and file encryption. At the disk encryption level, BitLocker is used to secure data, and at the file encryption level, every file is secured with its own key. It uses Advanced Encryption Standard, AES, with the 256 bit keys, and its Federal Information Processing Standard, FIPS, 140-2 compliant. That will meet all the standards, not only of the individual states that have privacy laws, such as the California Privacy Act, but also the more stringent European Privacy Act, which is known as the GDPR Act. And so I'd just like to play this quick little clip from Microsoft itself about what they have to say about cloud integrity, and how they are working to provide that sort of protection for individual law offices. So let me play this for you for 1 second.
The digital transformation has created an explosion of data, regulatory uncertainty, and ever-increasing cybersecurity threats. To thrive in this new landscape, you need a partner who can help address these challenges.
It really starts with trust. Trust isn't something you count on. It's something you have to earn.
At Microsoft, we embrace the responsibility to handle data securely, privately, and in compliance with relevant laws, to help create a safer world where organizations can be empowered by a digital transformation.
If we can't protect people, then we don't deserve it.
Our intelligent security solutions are backed by billions of dollars in research and development to provide security through technology, operations, policies, and partnerships.
We recognize that privacy is both a fundamental human right and a critical enterprise need.
Microsoft maintains a timeless value of privacy, recognizing that our customers' data is not our data, so you know you can control your data as needed.
We are the only company in our industry to say you can be a customer anywhere. We will extend the rights of GDPR fully to you.
We are often the first to adopt new privacy standards and partner with industry leaders and government bodies around the world to anticipate future compliance requirements. Our Trust Center is just one of the various resources available to help you learn more about how we enable you to manage your data.
At the end of the day, we will be measured not by the speeches we give, but the work that we do. That is the principle of standards.
So, as you can tell, Microsoft takes privacy very seriously. And it is good to know that you can trust, or at least, you know, use their efforts to show that you are taking all reasonable steps to safeguard client data, and that you can trust Microsoft in the way that other businesses trust Microsoft to handle their data. Again, most states bar requirements of safeguarding data say that you're taking all reasonable steps that other attorneys would use in the same circumstances to be compliant with data security and privacy matters. So in that sense, you can say that by trusting Microsoft, you're doing basically herd mentality, so to speak, that you're doing what the rest of the people are doing to safeguard their data, and that it's reasonable for you to trust Microsoft because this is what they're in the business doing. Instead of taking the encryption and security by yourself and trying to manage that yourself, it's hard because standards are always changing and they're usually getting more stringent as time moves on. And that's just an additional headache that you and your IT team don't necessarily want to take on, especially if you're a solo firm. You really don't want to take that responsibility on. So my advice is that by using Office 365, especially the paid version, you're doing what you can to be reasonably adhering to almost every state bar's requirements, that you are providing the best possible security for your client's data as reasonably possible. So the question is always how firms are using OneDrive. And the solos and the small firms that I am working with have a firm login. So, for instance, XYZ Law Office has its own particular account that's set up on OneDrive versus each person having their own individual OneDrive. You have the XYZ Law Office have its own account, and you log into the firm's account with the XYZ Law Office, and that allows you to have everybody access the same firm. Now, you can do the individual login And that gives
Esquire CLE's second verification code is CAN. C-A-N. All lowercase. CAN. Please take a moment and write this down. Esquire CLE's second verification code is CAN. C-A-N. All lowercase. CAN. Please take a moment and write this down.
Do more file control. But you do have to get someone to designate file access. So that can be a little bit more complicated. So for instance, if Secretary A, Paralegal B, and Lawyer C all have individual file logins, then when you have the firm designate out who has access to what files, you have to then say, this file is accessible to Attorney C, but not to Secretary A or Paralegal B. So you have to set that for each individual file. That can get a little bit difficult. I find that in most small and solo firms, you're looking at everyone wants to have access to the same file so that you're not running around having to, when you need access to it, get permissions to do so. It's just easier to have one central file repository that the people that need that file can access it, and you don't. And if someone new needs to access it, they just get that firm login and be able to do it from there rather than having to designate files each time. But if you have a lot of temp workers or outside counsel, you may not want to give that firm login to them and instead delegate it out to those individuals that are not permanent members of your firm. It's really a question of how much time you can designate to doing the file access for individuals versus whether it's more convenient to have the one firm access and just give people access, who are with your firm, to give people that direct access. I found that usually we use the one login generic address that everybody uses, so that it makes for easy collaborative work, and it makes a file repository for everyone that's an inexpensive alternative to an in-house server, which is very, in-house servers have just kind of worked their way through as far as their practical use. And there are certainly a lot of law offices that still use in-house servers, but with the solo and small firms that I've been working with, most of them have made a transition to using something like OneDrive and a clouded service versus trying to maintain one computer that has all the files on it that everybody logs into and gets it as a standard in-house file server. And I don't think many people miss it. I mean, those machines used to be very expensive. They're very hard to maintain. It seems like access to those files always falls off when you need them the most. When there's, you know, some sort of deadline to get something filed, you can never get to it, or it goes down on a holiday and you can't get your IT person to come in till, you know, a couple of days later. And by going and using OneDrive, you can be assured that OneDrive is going to be around 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, as long as you have internet access. And that's a big plus for a lot of firms. Another very popular thing is the fact that Office 365 is set for mobile access. And so it works really great for phones and tablets, especially people who are using iPads. If you have an iPad, trying to edit a Word document is extremely difficult because there isn't a copy of Word or Office directly for an iPad for the iOS. But if you have Office 365, you don't have to download the program. You can work with everything that's online. So, and you don't have to download the files, because that's one thing that's also very difficult with cell phones and tablets, is the file structure system usually is built into Unix and is not convenient for you to go through and find where the files actually are, then get them to upload, get them to download, edit them, and then re-upload them back as it was happening in the old days. What you have instead is the iPad or the cell phone being able to work directly online with the document that's within OneDrive. And by doing so, everyone is seeing the changes live as it happens. As soon as their computers sync with Office 365 with OneDrive, you know, on a minute-by-minute basis, they're seeing the changes that the people on the tablets are making and on their cell phones. And that way, again, you don't have to run to the office, or let's say you're in court and you need access to those documents. You can get them so much easier instead of having to download the client file directly to your computer. Then say somebody makes a change in it, or you want to make a change in it based on something that happens in court. More and more courts are now being internet, are providing hotspots or your ability to get into a wireless network that allows you to then access your network of files, such as Office 365 files, but also being able to use your cell phone as a hotspot too. That's becoming more powerful and popular. And you can, if you have security concerns that say using a shared network would compromise your ability to provide that security, you can just use your cell phone that you bring to court and use that as a hotspot, you know, that's protected. And in that sense, it's like basically having your own virtual private network. You don't have to worry about where the source file is, and you use the power of the internet versus the power of your device to be able to edit those documents and have them all be on the same track. And I've seen this really work effectively with co-counsel and outside counsel when you're trying to collaborate together on something on those lines by connecting to the Office 365 together, especially with outside counsel. You're all sharing the same document, and you're all sharing the same source, and there's no question about who has the right version, who has the current version, what does the current version look like, what does it say? Especially with things like comments and redlining and being able to then quickly glance at a document and see what's been done, what people are commenting should be done with the document. It just makes that collaboration so much easier and gets people away from having to do stuff, especially on paper, which I'm still working with some attorneys that are really paper-based, and they're beginning to see how starting digitally, working digitally, and ending up with a digital product is superior to insisting on printing stuff out, making the changes by hand, sending, giving the changes they made by hand to a secretary or a paralegal, having them type up the changes, and then uploading it back. It's just so much faster to cut out the paperwork. And chasing paper is always going to be a losing proposition. Even back in the day when paper was the only thing that there was, it still was very difficult to use and led to a lot of lost things and people not being up to date on the most current version of various documents. By moving into the cloud and being able to start digitally and work digitally on those documents the whole time, you keep yourself from getting caught in the paper shuffle and having to deal with that, which is very effective for most modern law offices. Let's also talk a little bit about groups. Office 365 is really into the group concept. And so when you create an Office 365 group, you select the people to be members of that group, and Office 365 will create a set of resources for people to share. So things like a shared email inbox with its own email address. This is where the group conversations can occur. Members can choose to get copies of the messages in the shared inbox sent to their personal inboxes. The group's email address can also be used as a central receiving point for things like court notices and relevant newsletters. A dedicated calendar for events and meetings relating to the group. Members can access this calendar through their personal Outlook or via the web browser. A shared document library where members can store, share, and collaborate all sorts of files relating to the group. A OneNote notebook that's specifically made for the group to collect notes, gather research, and share information. And a SharePoint team can also be created for the group so that people can do a full-on SharePoint collaboration. There's a lot to be said about SharePoint. We're not really set to discuss the hows and whys of SharePoint itself. It could easily be its own lecture. But it's suffice to say that for sharing information with your team, SharePoint allows you to create document libraries, lists, workflows, and other web apps that you can use both inside and outside your firm. And you can also use the Microsoft Planner to be able to do project management and task management. And then you can assign and create, assign, and track tasks that are related to the group. So the Office 365 groups is sort of a subunit when you're trying to focus on a particular case and have people both inside your firm and outside your firm all work together in one location instead of being scattered across things, being scattered across multiple different apps and different websites and different file systems. The groups it's a much better way of being able to collaborate collectively. So, for instance, you might create an Office 365 group for a large matter, then add the people of your firm who are working on that matter, the attorneys, the paralegals, assistants, support staff, and more. Those users can use the shared inbox to discuss the matter, add events, meetings, and deadlines to the shared calendar, collect resources, notes, and research in OneNote, then upload documents, pictures, and other files to share and collaborate to the shared document library. So it's not in your main repository so that you have to search through all sorts of cases. Maybe there's like one client that has three different matters, one that happened a long time ago, one that's in process, and one that you're going to deal with in the future. Well, you create a group for just the matter that's in process, and that keeps you from having to get confused. Was this the older matter? Was this the matter that we're going to be pursuing later? Or is this the matter we're working on right now? A group that's set up for working on it right now makes you focused and allows you to understand this is what we're working on right now. And again, as I mentioned, having co-counsel or experts, you can add them to the group as well. You can take them out of the group once they are no longer necessary to give their opinions or thoughts on it, so you're not compromising your entire law office's document system just to bring in an expert to look at it. So it's a way of controlling that access and being able to focus that access, which makes everything just so much quicker. All these resources can be accessed by your team members from wherever they are on any device, including Macs, so you don't have that issue where a Mac person says, well, I can't access this, I can't read this, I can't find this document, or I can't view this document. As long as they have an internet connection, they're able to see what's going on. And that is a pretty powerful thing. Again, we saw this become really vital during the lockdown in 2020. And when people were separated from their offices physically, but still had internet access. And I think that's something that we're not going back from. I think we're only moving forwards with that. People got used to that. And people saw the value. And there is a desire to keep that value going and to build off of it rather than go back to the way the things were with the office, so, you know, having to come into the office and deal with physically dealing with one computer connection being your only link to your data and things that you're using for your clients. Another thing that has been very popular too with Office 365 is the Office 365 forms. So the when you create the forms, you've got the ability to get client input about them. So you can create quizzes to get client input. You can view summary information for your form in the form of graphs and charts that you don't have to hand create. It just takes that data and automatically puts them into chart form. After you create your form, you can adjust the settings, you can adjust your form with others, and then you can review the results. And when you go to Microsoft Forms, you open the form that you want to review, and then click the Responses tab. And you're able to see exactly who responded and what percentage and what they thought should be done with a particular question or proposal. Across the top, you see the summary information about the data of your form, such as the number of responses, the average time it took for the respondents to complete the form, and the form is active or inactive. So anything, office poll, where you want to go to lunch, to, you know, what response you should take to a particular matter, or whether certain matter is worth pursuing or not, you can get that instant polling and find out what people think and have something that's solid that you can look to justify that decision, see what the majority thinks, what the majority wants. In the example that I have, it's just asking, where should we go? And it says 9 for the museum, 6 for the art exhibit, 5 for the aquarium, 3 for sporting event, 2 for theaters. But you could see how you could change those questions and the options for the answers to just about anything. And it's very flexible and easy to program. You can even open it in Excel if you wanted to be able to get to change that data or change the chart type if, say, you didn't want a pie chart, you wanted a bar graph or a scatter graph or, you know, anything along those lines, you could use the power of Excel to do that. So as a summary here, we have the reasons why Office 365 is popular with business. And I've mentioned some of these before, but I'll just repeat them kind of as a summary for the talk, which is that one of the big reasons is the mobility and scalability of Office 365 makes it popular. Office 365 documents being accessed from any location, coffee shop, people that commute, people that are traveling, makes it superior to than a lot of older systems that people are using, especially with in-office file servers. If any of the legal team forgets to bring along copies of important documents, you can always view the most up-to-date version from cloud storage. You can access the same document from multiple devices. If you lose data from the version you're working on, you simply access the cloud and get the original version of the document. Cloud solutions are also cost-effective. Scalability of Office 365 allows legal firms to add and remove resources as needed to meet operational needs. Office 365 products have a wide range of functionality that legal firms can use to get work done. While OneDrive provides online content storage, SharePoint provides content sharing solutions. And in addition to its security and compliance features, SharePoint also provides benefits of version control, full records management. Its metadata model helps you conduct enterprise searches and in-depth legal analysis efficiently. If you need to conduct meetings with members or clients in different parts of the world. You can use Skype for business web conferences as well. The document management that it provides is very popular, even when compared to things like iManage and NetDocuments. Office 365 is now being used just as much as those document management items, because Office 365 now stores more than half of all the sensitive data that is stored in the cloud in the form of Outlook email content, Word documents, and Excel spreadsheets. Also, Office 365 products like Exchange, SharePoint, and OneDrive are being used to save and share documents remotely for any part of the world. These apps help you centralize legal template management and keep track of how confidential files are being used by team members. And you're being compliant with the security level without having to individually manage it and keep track of it, because you're relying on the Microsoft Teams to be able to do that, their security team to be able to do that. And with a contractual relationship with them, that gives a lot more safeguarding to your system than having to manage it yourself. Matter Center that was developed to integrate with Microsoft products like Word, Outlook, and SharePoint, and OneDrive provide their features be all connected together, so that security is connected when you go from program to program to program. They don't have different levels on each one. They're all meant to be secure with each other. And so it provides legal teams with new benefits, such as the ease of organizing legal documents by clients, matter, searching, and reviewing. And it gives a lot of ability to deal with legal compliance and management because of how they're synchronized together. So finally, security and compliance, as we talked about, is really important. In fact, Microsoft is considered one of the most secure cloud service providers. A few of the regulations that Microsoft meets are ISO 27001, the European GDPR models, and the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, known as HIPAA. Which is a great concern, especially to attorneys that are dealing with personal injury and other medical malpractice data. It also meets the Business Associate Agreement and the Federal Information Security Management Act. So the question is, how safe exactly is cloud computing? While cloud computing does not eliminate completely the risk of data breaches, it does significantly reduce it, at least by minimizing online threats. According to Jason Reichel, CEO of GoNimbly, many recent data breaches have been reported incorrectly. For example, a security breach at Target occurred because a vendor who had access to the company's portal left the computer on and walked away. No one was hacking the cloud. It was human error. The cloud cannot protect you from that, which is true. If you have people that are not educated in the system or are not willing to take the level of protecting the system, you can have breaches still occur, or you can have breaches occur because somebody lost their cell phone and didn't put a password on it, that sort of thing. But it gives you, but as far as someone breaking into the cloud system that you have and stealing the data that way, it's very unlikely. And again, you're doing what is considered reasonable by other attorneys in your same situation and what they're doing to protect their data. And trusting Office and Microsoft is considered a reasonable thing to do. So conclusions that we have. Office 365 works seamlessly with Windows 10 and now Windows 11. It's relatively inexpensive. It uses the internet for power. That means it works with older machines, phones, and tablets. It has strong security. It's an industry standard. It takes a short time to learn, but has powerful features and will be around for a long time and supported by Microsoft. Microsoft's plan to make sure that Office 365 is a big part of their future and can be part of your future too. And with that, I conclude the lecture. I hope you found this very informative. And if you have any questions, you can contact me at the contact information. I can be found on Facebook under facebook.com/calmputerconsult. That's CalmputerConsult. And my phone number and email are also part of this lecture, the PowerPoint too. Thank you so much for listening and look forward to talking to you on future lectures. Have a great day. Bye-bye.